Psalm chapter 40, I'm going to read three verses here and preach just for a few minutes some things about biblical salvation. I'm very troubled about what a lot of people call salvation today. It's so man-centered. But salvation in the Bible is God-centered. It's God-centered. It's all about God and His grace bestowed on that sinner. Psalm chapter 40, I'll read the first three verses. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. Talking about that new song and that new praise. Those looking on will see it. And fear and shall trust in the Lord. I want to preach for just a few minutes on how firm a foundation. How firm a foundation those of us that are saved are sitting on and standing on. Now this psalm was written by David, and most of the people I studied after agree that it was written after he had had that war with Absalom, his son, and David had been exiled from the throne, but now he was back on the throne and he wrote this psalm. I always like to tell what the Scripture means in context because I usually preach them in context, but today I'm going to make an application and show that this is a picture of salvation. But always be careful if somebody preaches things out of the Old Testament and they take them out of context, they can twist New Testament doctrine and tear it all to pieces. But that comes with knowing your Bible, and you got to study your Bible to know your Bible, and you got to be saved and have the Holy Ghost to show you what you've studied. So it's all got to be working together. But David tells us here, the first thing that David wrote, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. David tells us that he was patiently waiting for God's deliverance. And this can also apply to the new birth. I thought about where Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this one thing, that He that begins a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, when we think about waiting patiently, I want to also just, and I won't turn there for sake of time, but you remember in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus was talking to the Lord Jesus about being saved, and Nicodemus said, except a man be born again, and Nicodemus got it confused with the physical birth, and Jesus said, no, that which is born, he must be born of the water and the Spirit. That's not talking about baptism. I believe that the Scripture gives light on what it's talking about, because Jesus drops right down the next verse and says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. I believe the water is the physical birth. That's just the way I believe it. But he said, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So when you think about waiting patiently when God is starting that deliverance, and the Bible tells us in John 16:21, talking about a woman when she's in travail, that the moment the child is born, she forgets her sorrow because she's got the child. And I thought about when you think about the spiritual birth and the new birth, they've got some things in common. I remember when every time Mike has had a child, and I'm sure you men would say the same, man, when you see them in labor, it makes you, I mean, we get impatient. We say, come on, man, I hate to see her suffer, and she's laying there. I mean, everybody's got, but we've got, all we can do is be patient because that child is not coming until the time that it comes. And that's the same way with the new birth. Those that are under conviction, they wait patiently on the Lord. You might be here today and God has started that good work. And everybody He ever convicts, He'll save them every time. Because when He begins that good work, thank God He finishes that work. But then those looking on. See, Aubrey's been under conviction for a while. I knew she was. But I had to wait patiently. See, I didn't rush in and say, oh, you need to repeat this prayer and do all this. Step one, step two, step three, and do all that. No, I had to wait patient as I saw the travail, just like in the physical birth. You're not going to get that baby here any quicker. I know they got Pitocin and all that, but the baby still ain't coming till it's time. And it's the same way with the spiritual birth. We wait patiently on the Lord and with confidence. When somebody calls and says, oh, so-and-so, God's got them under conviction, I say, hallelujah. Oh, looking on, boy, we feel bad for them on one sense, but we know there's going to be a delivery before long. Got to wait patiently on the Lord. One preacher said you pluck them when they're green sometime. A lot of people try to pluck them too early. You've got to wait till God's done with that work. Then the second thing, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. See, when it was God's timing, he heard that cry, and he inclined his ear. He gave him an ear to hear, and the Lord heard his cry. Then secondly, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. The second thing I want to think of is the horrible pit from which we were dug out of. See, I'm afraid today that preachers don't preach. I'm not talking about preaching on sins. Some preachers, they'll preach on gambling and cussing and smoking and drinking. They'll go down their list. Those are problems you have, sins you commit. But none of those are your problem, friend. Your problem is who you are. Your nature. That's just a manifestation of who you are. But see, the horrible pit that we were in. Romans chapter 3 says that there's none that seeketh after God. There's none that doeth good. We're all gone away backward. Romans 5:10 calls us an enemy of God. Everybody who is not saved is a hater of God. Oh, you say, well, I know a lot of people that are good people. They're good as far as humanly speaking. But every lost person in their nature hates God. We're at enmity with God, the Bible says. Now just think about if you're here and saved, you ought to be saying in your soul, hallelujah, glory to God, when you think of that horrible pit. If you don't think you was dug up out of a horrible pit, then I don't know if you've ever experienced a new birth, because you'll never be saved till God shows you your condition, shows you your sin, and points you to the door of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ. We were dug out of a horrible pit. The Bible says that ye hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. I'm glad regeneration comes before repentance and faith, but they happen so quick you can't separate them. But God has to give that dead sinner life. And when he opens his eyes and opens his ears, he can hear that gospel for the first time. I heard it a long time here, but one day God opened my ears. The Bible said he opened Lydia's heart when Saul was on the road to Tarsus, I think it was, and God opened, or he blinded him, then he opened his eyes, but he saved him there that day. I think about the thief on the cross. He was railing on Christ, but then he said, Lord, remember me. See, it wasn't about what he said. It had already been done inside. Somebody said, oh, did I pray right? Did I say right? It ain't about what you did right. It's about, did God convict you and save you and regenerate you by the Holy Ghost? Different people said different things in the Bible when they were saved, but they all had a couple things in common. They had Holy Ghost conviction, and they had the regenerating work of the Holy Ghost, and they all come forth crying out to God in some way, thanking Him, praising Him, asking for salvation, asking for forgiveness, I should say. But I'm glad that that horrible pit, even though it was so bad, God just dug me up out of it. And I noticed it didn't say that I brought myself out. It said, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Miry clay is like quicksand. And one time we were coon hunting, and it had been a drought, and we were hunting around the lake, and the water had receded way back. And I thought, well, it's dry, so I'm just going to, the dogs were treed. And man, I said, I'm going to save a lot of time. The other guy said, I ain't walking in that mud. I said, no, it'd be all right. I stepped one step into there, and I went up to my waist. And the more I tried to get out of it, I mean, I was just wallowing in it. And the only thing that helped me is he found a grapevine and throwed out the lifeline. And drug me out. That's exactly what the Lord did. When I was buried in sin in that horrible pit, wallowing in the miry clay of sin, He throwed out the lifeline of the Holy Ghost. He convicted me of my sin. The Bible said no man can come unto the Father except the Spirit draw him. That word draw means to drag. I mean, He lassoed me up, but He didn't pull me kicking and screaming. I tell you what, when God saved me, I wanted salvation more than I wanted anything. People misunderstand me sometimes. They think, oh, God saves you against your will. No, He changes my will. He changes my heart. And when He does that, I'm telling you, you can't. One guy said the Lord's trying to save somebody. Another man said, when God was dealing with me, I couldn't stop Him. I wanted Him more than the next breath. That's salvation. That's grace. That's pure, sovereign grace. That's the only way it can be. Then lastly, I've just been preaching 12 minutes. Lastly, the firm foundation. It said, "And He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." Once He brought me up, now I'm standing on a firm foundation. I'm not standing on water baptism. I'm not standing on church membership. I'm not standing on being a Baptist, though I'm thank God I am a Baptist. I'm not standing on my good works. I'm not standing on my righteousness. I'm standing on Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. That's what the Bible says, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And then lastly, He said in verse 3, "And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praising to our God." This salvation always brings a changed life. Some people grow faster than others. I ain't trying to make nobody mad, but everybody that's saved will either have fruit of salvation or they'll have the chastisement of God. See, we believe God doesn't try to do nothing, does He? He does it. And He said that every child will be chastised. And if you're without chastisement, you're a bastard, not a son. Okay? So that tells me that everybody that's saved, if they get away from God, He's going to chastise them. He's not going to do like we as humans. I know some of you parents are super parents, and y'all never had no problems with your kids. But sometimes I whip mine for something, and she does, and they do it the next day. Y'all ever have that happen? Sometimes my discipline and our discipline don't do what we want it to do. But when God sets out to discipline one of His children, He doesn't just try. He'll get them corrected. And they'll come back. You say, "Well, preacher, I know 20 people who say they're saved." And I said, "You've just explained it. They're not. If they don't have chastisement." And then everybody that's saved, He give them a new song. He gave us praise to God. The Bible said, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things have become new." That doesn't mean sinless perfection. Now, I think in the literal interpretation of that verse, that's talking about positionally all things are new. Because if we were to take it literally as far as our walk, that would mean that we never would sin. But positionally, everything's been made new. But practically, in our practice, we're being made new. See, salvation has three phases. Four, if you want to count one of them two ways. There's justification, just as if we never sinned. Positionally before God, I'm righteous. There's sanctification, we've been set apart from the world unto God. Then there's a practical sanctification. That's a continuing thing. See, the sanctification is not a completed process till we get out of here. And then the third is the glorification when we get that glorified body. See? I mean, does sin bother you? When you hear the things of the world, does it convict you? And see, the reason all this happens, it says, "Many shall see it and shall trust in the Lord." When they look at us in our changed life, God uses that sometime to work on their heart and save them also. How firm a foundation.